an area that probably at times we don't like to hear about, and that's being a sacrifice. So when you hear that word, sacrifice, hold your seats, don't run. You know, we think of it back in the days of the Old Testament, of the sacrifice, and we know what that meant, huh? The priest would bring bulls and goats and the unblemished animals for the altar and for a year worth of sin, and they would kill them on the altar, and that would suffice at that point in time in the Old Testament of taking care of the sins of the people. So now we get into this, but when you hear that word sacrifice, our mind begins to think, sacrifice. We can think of a lot of things about sacrifice. A definition would say this: it's an act of offering to a deity something precious, especially the killing of a victim on an altar. Now you think of back in the Old Testament, Abraham was going to sacrifice who? His son, you know. He was told to do that. But God had other plans, and it was just a time of God opening up more of the scriptures. But destruction, or a surrender of something for the sake of something else. Destruction or surrender of something for the sake of something else. Something given up or lost, a sacrifice. I sacrificed this. In a definition looking biblically, it would be the act of giving up something that you want to keep, especially in order to get. You want to keep something in order to get, or to do something else, or to help someone. You know, we sacrifice, we give up things. An act of, here again, killing a person or an animal in a religious ceremony as an offering to please God. But that's when you begin to hear that word sacrifice. And we're going to be looking at Romans 12:1, and we're going to then launch over to 1 Peter 2:4 to 5. But our first scripture for today, as I was looking at this, was in Romans. And if we want to just kind of thumb your way over to Romans 12:1. You know, as you're turning that way, it's not a pleasant thing, really, is it, to hear about being a sacrifice. And now, as we think of it in the more sense of the New Testament and the church that we are and the things after Christ, I don't know, maybe sacrificing the person on the altar was a whole lot easier than sacrificing a living person to keep them living, because the sacrifices for that living person, it's giving of a lot of yourself. It's going to follow this pattern here, and we'll kind of get to that point at the end of the message here and where we want to go after this. But sacrificing. In Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, are pleasing to God, which is your reasonable or rational service. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So as we're reading here, it's your reasonable service. It's a rational service to God, is to be what? A sacrifice, a living sacrifice to God. When we hear this word sacrifice, we think back in the Old Testament when the priest would sacrifice an animal on the altar to God. Today, as we live as a New Testament church, we're not sacrificing animals. We're sacrificing, really, something that is much harder at times to sacrifice. And that's us, to be a living sacrifice. Day in and day out, to lay down your life, so to speak, for the things of God, to be able to be used by Him in the hours that He's given you, to realize that I've been bought with a price, doesn't it say? I'm no longer my own, you know? I've been turned over to God. I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I am a new creation. I am a new creature, but really, I'm no longer my own if I look at the scriptures and what it's telling me. I become that living sacrifice. I become that living stone. We're going to look at that as far as living stones and spiritual sacrifices. And oh my goodness, it's like, what more does he want from me? Remember a few months back or a month or so back, I said, God, what do you want from me? And it's all of us. Well, he's wanting us to be available to him, really, 24/7. 365 days a year to sacrifice our lives to him. That is not going to say that he's going to take every hour and every minute of your time all year and say, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. He's going to probably give you a lot of your own free time. Don't you agree? Most of us here have had a lot of free time this last 7 or 8 months of this new year, right? We're getting ready to go into our 9th month now. So the last 8 months, has God really pulled a lot of your personal time to serve him in the last 8 months? You know, has living from or being sun up to sundown, has everything that you've done that day just totally been for God? You know, probably not. You've been able to do a lot of your own things and you've got a life. But we've got to be quick to understand and quick to turn or understand that we need to turn our lives over to him. And it talks about bearing your cross. We may get into some of those things there. But there's all these things in his word that tells us, pick up your cross and follow me daily. It's a daily thing. It's daily living that sacrificial life to where if he calls upon you, you're going to be willing to do something for him. He is wanting us to lay aside our own desires to do what? To follow him. This requires us to put all of our energy and our resources at his disposal and trusting him to guide us every step along the way. You know, in Psalms we talk about and read about, he puts our feet on a path, stay on his path. The path that he has you on is a good path. The path that he has for you is his path if you've sold yourself out to him and if you've said, Lord, here I am, use me. When you say that, be ready because he will what? Use you. We should want to do this because God has taken our sins from us through that of who? Jesus. Because he gave us his son to make our life possible. We should be willing to offer ourselves in the verse in Romans where it reads, present ourselves as living sacrifices to him. Present ourselves as living sacrifice. Remember that sacrifice. It's to give up something. It's to surrender something. You know, you've got to surrender yourself. You have got to surrender your ambitions of things to a point. Now, here again, you know, he will be there for you and he will have a way for you to work out this life. And it's generally not everybody in this room. Are we all going to totally go into the ministry and everybody in here, we're all going on the mission field to Africa? It's not that at all. Where he has you is your mission field, your job, your home, your neighborhood. You know, we've been through all of that so many times, but people need to continually hear that your mission field, your life for God is right where he has you. Isn't that exciting? Right where he's got you. A lot of us, you don't have to pick up sticks and stakes and move your house and tent, you know, like they would back in the Old Testament. Could you imagine, you know, all those things that they did and just kept moving? Okay, Lord, here we go again. Pick up your stakes. Here we go. We're going this way. God has placed you at a particular place, even now, that he has a call upon your life, a thing that he wants you to accomplish. We need to do that. We need to be pleasing to God. We need to have be ready for a reasonable service. Notice it says, which is your reasonable service. He's not going to put something on you that's unreasonable. Do you believe that? Do you think God's going to put something on you that's really impossible for you to do? He will not put things on you that he knows you can't do. He will put things on you that you may think you don't have the strength, the energy, the knowledge, whatever the case, the time to do. But if you really think about it just a little bit and ask him to show you a little bit, he will make that way. He will show you those things that he's wanting to have you do in honor of him. And that's what we are today. We shared a little bit in Sunday school, but as far as going out and just sharing the gospel message, we think we've got to have everything lined up, and you got to have all these scriptures, and you got to have the script, and you got to have all these things to say, and just hit them with both barrels all at the same time. And that usually does not do any good. Because here's what happens. If you're out hunting and you're shooting an animal with both barrels of the shotgun, probably are, there's not going to be much left of that animal, right? You ever heard of that? It's like, my gosh, what did you? You blew away this pheasant, or you shot this duck, and there's nothing left of him. You hit both barrels at him. I think sometimes we do that when we, as Christians, go out and we share things of God, and we want to share the faith message, and we feel like we've got to be like a rapid machine gun. Has anybody ever felt like that? At times in the early times, I thought that you don't want them to get a word in edgewise. And so you just keep, and then you go, can I pray with you? And they go, what did you just say? Well, here, I just said this in the Romans Road. Didn't you hear? We all are sinners. Christ died for us, blah, 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 blah. He that says he has no sin makes God out to be a liar. We're all sinful. We just go on to these things. But I think if we get to the point and say, I'm just going to be a living stone. I'm going to be a living sacrifice for God. And I'm just going to live my life, because how many in here, God has given you a life? Okay, there's only three people alive here today. We will need resuscitation quick. God has given everyone in here a life to live and a purpose here. The people that you see, the people that you know, probably are going to be people that I don't know or have contact with, vice versa. It's just a myriad of things out there that we're a part of. But God has you here for a special purpose. And as we get into this level of understanding that, my life is not really my own, you've got to be willing to lay it down. And isn't it nice when we hear about laying down our life? That I don't think I'm really talking about that you've got to, take a bullet for somebody. It's not to be, killed out there. It's not for your life to be taken. But if we look at it in context or the understanding of when Jesus laid his life down for us, he gave everything up to die to give us that resurrection power, that ability to have life and eternity there. And so as we look at laying our life down, just lay your life down for your fellow man and those around you, sometimes it's just, give somebody 10 minutes of your time. That didn't kill you, did it? Talk to them for 20 minutes. Did that kill you? Even though you had an appointment maybe you had to get to, like I had to go shopping at 10:30, and if I don't go to Woodman's at 10:30, my whole schedule is going to be off for the rest of the day, It might take 15 minutes all of a sudden. You're going to be busy talking and sharing with somebody. 15 minutes is not going to mess up your schedule. I think that's part of that living sacrifice. We're going to get into it too as far as worship, our times of worshiping him. We bring what? The sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. He loves us. He wants us to be paying attention to him. He wants us to worship and to praise him. He wants us to be ready when he says, do this, share this, go there, give that we're willing to do those things. In 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5, it talks about there is the chosen stone and being his chosen people. Isn't that nice? We are a royal priesthood. Amen? So 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2, 4 and 5. Now, if you go up before that, just as chapter 2 starts, it says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word, and that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. A lot of it is if we can just get the milk of the word. Milk of the word, it's pretty palatable, it's pretty easy. Now, I'm not going to say you're going to understand it. We help with that, with the Holy Spirit comes and helps us understand these things. But to understand these things of God and what he is asking us, he's just asking us, come as newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And then it says here in verse 4, coming to him as what? coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men. Coming to him as a living stone, that's Jesus. You've come to Jesus. He's the stone that the builders did what? Rejected. And he is, you know, he is that stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. It goes on in 5 where it says, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through who? Jesus Christ. Again, living stones, spiritual sacrifices. Our life as a Christian, our life as a follower of God, really, if you want to get down to it, and if you really want a fulfilled life serving Christ, is you need to sacrifice. You need to sacrifice your way, your desires and your wants and what you think you should do. You know, if it doesn't line up with the things of God, then you might need to change them and say, okay, God, what is it that I am to do? What is it that you have for me to do? Again, guys, it's not that he's going to control every speck of your life and you're not going to be able to go out and have a job or go out and do this or that. But wherever he has you, a lot of times, though, we just don't take that opportunity. We think of ourselves. As we get into a little bit more of this, we'll probably look a little bit deeper, not today, but it's going to be looking at a self-denial. How hard is it to deny yourself? Pretty hard sometimes, because we want to take care of ourselves. But we'll kind of get there as we maybe go through this the next, not today, but next week. But self-denial is going to be a big part of it. Here in 1 Peter, we read that Peter is portraying the church as what? A living spiritual temple, with Christ as the foundation and the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. As believers, he is saying as well that we are too, we are stones ourselves. We're stones, part of this building. We need to remember that one stone does not complete the temple, right? As well as one part of the body doesn't complete the body. So much of this is intertwined with things that we read in other parts of the scriptures of talking about, you know, if I'm a hand and if I don't have the foot, what am I? You know, we are working together as a group. We are working together as a team. We are working together as a church that is hopefully serving God. Amen. And as a church serving God, I've got to be kind of with my antenna up thinking like, okay, Lord, what is it that Harvesters Church can do in our community to be living sacrifice, to be that living stone? It's not fun sometimes when you tell people what church a person would go to and they go, well, I've never heard of that before. Where's that at? And sometimes it's like, well, my gosh, we've been here since 1983. Now, granted, you know, new people come, new people go, or new people go. People come and go, let's just say that. And, of course, they might remember it as maybe the past name, you know, of Believers Faith Fellowship. Oh, I remember that. You know, a lot of times I just say, oh, a church north of Afton on West Cemetery Road. And they go, well, I've been there. You know, we've had a lot of special services 25 years ago, 30 years ago, 25 or 30 years ago. And so people kind of remember that aspect of it. But wouldn't it be great that they would remember it for something that's what? Current. Something of today, you know. It's good to have past, but I want to see what's happening in the present that people would say, well, that's a nice and lovely church, or that's a friendly church, or, you know, they do a wonderful work in what they're able to do. And it's not that, you know, we as a church are going to do everything for everybody in the community, right? You know, we've got a food pantry that we've really been able to maintain. God has been able to do that for us for sure, with the support of you folks for financial support and some of you laboring to help fulfill that for all these years. And that's a wonderful outreach to have. But is there more? Is there something else that we as a church could be doing? Now, I want to be sensitive to God. That's what I'm saying. As a pastor and all, I'm trying to be sensitive to say, okay, Lord, what is it and can we do it? And he will not ask you to do something that you can't, right? Has he ever asked you personally to do something that you can't do? It might have taken a little bit of time. It might have brought you more closer in prayer to him. But he eventually showed you, yes, you too can accomplish this. And here's how we're going to do it. Here's how we are going to do it. Not you. God is on your side. So God is on our side here as well. And so you've got to take a lot of things into consideration, numbers and people and availabilities and things. And we're finding that in a lot of our churches that there's less and less and less and less, guess what, availability. It's getting harder for people to have groups in their church do things, and it does take quite a few hands to do different outreaches and to do things in the parks and whatnot. It's just interesting. I at times go through my files, and I've got some old files on the computer that goes back to church flyers and church stuff, you know. And remember, we had a park outreach that was called Salt and Light. Anybody remember Salt and Light? I came across that the other day in my computer, and I opened it up, and I don't have a lot of things saved there, but there was some flyers and things like that that we were going to. And Salt and Light was in the Fourth Ward Park for a year or so, and then we moved from the Fourth Ward over to the Washington Park over there, just south of the hospital. And we did some community outreaches in those areas, and it was really wonderful. It was kind of neat to see. But here again, it took hands, and it took people that had the time and desire to do those things. I hear churches now that I get with in these pastors group that I get with, and different churches that are doing outreaches in different areas, and it's like I think to myself, wow, we did that some time back, you know. I look at it at times with God as seasons of times, you know. It's not to say per se that we should still be doing that or anything like that, but I feel somewhat good that we had done something like that 22 years ago, but I feel somewhat sad that we're not able to do something like that today. And so I've got to juggle that happy with sad. Like, what gives, Lord? And then I set it aside and I say, well, Lord, if that's something for us to do, you will create the interest, you will create and bring in the hands and more people, you know, into the church to do those things. You know, we've had talking with pastors, and somebody was saying, yeah, we need more church representation at the 4-H fair. I said, guess what? We were there for many years under the grandstands at the very corner. Matter of fact, I was there. We went there to look at the fairgrounds. I forgot to mention this. It's coming up on us now in September. September 15th is a Saturday, and that's going to be the back-to-school bash that's going to be presented. And it was held, this will be again at the fairgrounds, but it's going to be over by the livestock area on that side because the Craig Center has got, it's already been spoken for every weekend for the rest of the year on that side of the fairgrounds. And so it's going to be over on the where the livestock areas are. Now, they've been all cleaned out, and it's all okay, guys. But anyway, back to school bash is going to be held there. And so as I was there a few weeks back, and I got in the car and I drove around, because it's kind of neat. You can just drive around on the fairgrounds and just drive wherever you want. And I drove over and got out, and I walked under the stands where the grandstands were, and I went to our booth. And I took a picture of it. I took a video of it. It's like, oh, the little step-up floor is still there. It's just plywood. We used to bring a carpet and lay a carpet every year there. The siding and all that's in there, it's still the same, you know, painted blue. I don't know if that was our color. I'm sure that somebody's probably repainted it. But it has that little wedged corner shelf in there that we used to put our TV on and all this. And you stand there and you look and you think, wow, Lord, I remember this. I remember when Believer's Faith Fellowship and Harvester's Church had a booth here every fair summer, and having people from the church staff it and hand out water and just talk with people and just be that light in the community. You know, it was an awesome thing to think you had how many thousands of people come across your frontage there that would never come across your front out here. But I remember those times, and I thought, that was wild. And it's like, but that was a long, long days, let me tell you. But we served a purpose there. A season comes and a season goes. So as I hear these ideas and I hear what other groups are doing, and now this group in town, they're talking about having a group come, and it's called Revive. It's kind of like a salvation and going out into your community and sharing the gospel. And a lot of it, to a point, is flavored to like what we did with like the outreach that we had years ago with the script and things of going out and and going out to the malls and the stores and wherever. And it was run kind of like that, where it runs for a week, where they have this opportunity to go out, and then hopefully they leave to where the churches are inspired to just, but to make it just a life change, just to make the congregations of each church realize that you don't have to have fear to go out and share the gospel. You can just go out and build a relationship and talk to people and listen to people, and then maybe that conversation allows you to maybe offer prayer or maybe go deeper than that. But I was able to sit in that meeting and say this, we did something like that. I remember. Some of it was good and some of it is not so good sometimes. But God is continually doing things. God is still moving in our community. Amen? And I think as we look at this as a living sacrifice, a living stone, spiritual sacrifice, I think it's just looking at and just being a sacrifice to God. And be used by him in these areas. Now, I'm not saying we're going to get involved with the fair. I'm not saying we're going to have a picnic and a salt and light in the parks anymore. You know, those are seasons possibly that have come and gone. And we just set on that and say, thank you, Lord, for that time. And Father, we trust that we did what you wanted us to do in those days. I hear a lot of churches out there have groups that come together throughout the week that they have more information and more group settings in homes than they do in a church setting, and home fellowships and things. Well, we did that a long time ago, harvest groups, you know. Harvest groups, we called it something else, cell groups, yes. It started out as home cell church, you know, or home cell groups. Believers Faith Fellowship, I think it was at that time, or was it Harvesters back then? I don't know. I'd have to look at the records. Harvesters Church or whatever, having cell groups meeting weekly in your neighborhoods. Well, I don't know, a month after we started all that promotion or just getting going, all of a sudden we had, you know, like the 9/11 attack on the Twin Towers. And all of a sudden, the big words out there and a lot of the things that were being shared was, it was a terrorist cell group. That's like, that's a terrorist cell. A terrorist cell has done this, a terrorist cell. Now, I remember Pastor Hoblin, we're thinking as a group, like, well, great, I think we need to change. I don't know if we really want to go and promote in our community. Like, come and join our cell group. It's like, what are you guys going to blow up? It's like, oh my gosh, go figure that out. So we call them home cells, then we changed it to harvest groups. But it was to meet in homes throughout the community. I know for you, a lot of you that are sitting here today, you're thinking, wow, you know, the size of the church is today. But, you know, we had a cell group in Milton. We had like 4 in Janesville. We had 2 in Beloit. We had youth group type cells. We had, you named it, or harvest groups. We had, you know, A lot of harvest groups on the south side of town, the east side of town, the west side. We were, as a church, strategically looking at people that were attending, and they became a host home, and they could invite. And the concept of it is that you could invite somebody that doesn't go to church, and they're more likely to come to your home because it's kind of a neutral setting than to say, here, go to church with me. I don't want nothing to do with church. Well, we get together on a Tuesday night. Come on over. We just have some coffee, some snack, and you know, we sing. And yeah, it's a little Bible study, but you know, it's not church in a church building. And so it was supposed to be used as an opportunity to invite people in. And once they came to a harvest group, then maybe eventually they would come into a church setting, and we would have a celebration time on Sundays. It is amazing when you start going through the records of the church and the things that we've had, things that we have been part of. But again, is it a season? Is it a time for that time, Lord? And then we move on. And it's okay to move on, but I just want us to realize that we still need to realize that we need to be a living sacrifice, that we need to be sacrificial to our God, that we need to lay down some of our wants and desires or time frame to serve God if it's a God thing, right? It's not going to be my idea. I don't want to come up with thoughts and ideas because they'll fail. But I want to be sensitive to the things of God. And if God, you know, beckons us to go this way or that way, or we could do this or that, or because He will only use and do what he knows you're capable of doing. And if we can't do it ourselves, he will provide and he takes care of those things. But all this comes back and around to this whole thing of being, you know, a living sacrifice, being there for God to use. It's what we started out with. I beseech you and I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We're not going to die physically to the things of God. We just want to allow him to use us where we can be used by him. And I tell you, it's hard. It is hard. Even with this group for this revive thing, we're trying to look at, now throw a date out there. When is a good date to have something like this in your community? You know, at this point in time, we're in September, okay? This point of time now is looking down into May of 2019, May 5th or something like that, around the first part of May, potentially as having it start. And so that's planning it out. But then again, when you had all these pastors around, they're going, well, this date doesn't work. Well, that month is not going to work. Well, we do this or we have a conference. And it's like, oh, my goodness, everything gets booked up fast. Like somebody said, you just need to go out and plant a flag on that date and see what happens, you know. I find that same thing even in the things that we do here in a smaller scale, is trying to find the right time, the right date, the right whatever for the most possible of people to be available to be able to be a part of that. And you can go in circles trying to figure that out. But as it gets back to me as well as you, it's like, Lord, what am I willing to do? What do I want to do for you? What can I do for you? And of course, when our times are filled up with other things, we're not going to be able to do those things. But I'm just saying that as possibilities of things arise, you know, the back to school bash, you know, we've had some hands to help that a few years back, maybe three or four of us, and it didn't take much. I look at things that are somewhat less labor intensive as best as I can, you know, to where it can be easily done, but still to be somewhat of a part of something, if that's what if God wants us to do. And I have not figured out what truly we're going to do on that day as far as what we're going to hand out. But in Peter, he's portraying the church as a living spiritual temple with Christ as the foundation. He's our foundation. And we're just going to be that one stone. You're a stone, you're a stone, you're a stone, I'm a stone. We're going to build this temple. My hand and your foot and my hand and your finger, whatever the case might be, as all members of the body of Christ come together, we fulfill what God wants in his church. In Ephesians 4:16, it says, it takes many stones to build a wall, just as it takes many parts of the body to make up the body. And see, that's where that part of the body comes in. Ephesians 4:16. Talks about spiritual gifts there, walking in unity. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, that Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And then it goes on in 17 and talking about a new man and as we are a new person. But it's interesting to look at here in Ephesians as we're sharing here that from the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its thing. How interesting and inspiring that, you know, they use the body. God's word here is using the body, because as we look at our body, we find out that our body is miraculous and a wonderfully made body. But, you know, everything in it performs a function, doesn't it? It is just so interesting, the physiological or the physics or the makeup of the body and the healing process and what this does to that, to this, to that, and to find out every part in us needs something. you know, being able to support this body. Well, if we look at it in the natural of things of a church, you know, we look out and we see the body of believers. The body of believers, that's us as the church. We're here to help and supply the needs that God wants us to do. And, you know, as we come into this part here of whatever we're fulfilling, if it's the pantry from now until doomsday, praise God for the pantry. You know, it's an awesome outreach. If it's something else, praise God. He will move upon my heart. He will move upon your heart. And he will provide either the finances, the hands to do it, whatever the case might be. But here again, we're looking at this, that it takes many stones to build a wall, just as it takes many parts of the body to make up this body. And I would ask, what is your part? What is God looking for you to do? What have you sacrificed in your life to God? And the one thing I want to caution us on is in 1 Samuel 15:22, it talks about, you know, we want to get into, I've been talking all morning about sacrifice, living stones, spiritual sacrifice. But don't discount that obedience is better than sacrifice. In 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel is saying this, "Does the Lord take pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord?" Look, to obey is better than sacrifice. To pay attention is better than the fat of the rams. It's better to obey than sacrifice. It's better to pay attention than having the fat of the rams. It's kind of telling us that we just need to pay attention to God. As I look at this, I don't want to get us into thinking that sacrifice is where it's at. I want to get into, as well as probably more than anything else, that obedience, to be obeying to God. We as parents, we just loved it when we told our kids something to do and they did what? They were obedient to do it. When we would say this or say that or yes or no or do this or go there, and they followed that without us having to keep on them, you know. When our kids followed us and they obeyed, it makes you feel good, doesn't it? Just say one thing. Would you pick up your toys before we go here? Well, thank you. Yep, they jump right on it and they do it. It's like, wow, that's awesome. So we want to be obedient to God. When God says, Tim, would you do this? Tim, will you go there? Tim, will you try this? Will you be a part of this? And I go, yeah, I'll do that, Lord. You know, I'll be obedient. I think when we become obedient to God, it's kind of like we'll sacrifice to God. Because we're being obedient and we see him and we hear him and he's talking to us and we see that we want to please him. We want to please our Heavenly Father. Amen. Just like Jesus says, I do nothing but what to bring honor and glory to please my Father in heaven. And so as we become obedient, we begin to sacrifice. It's kind of like, I don't think you can have one without the other, but I don't want you to get into the thought like, well, I'm just going to sacrifice and that'll take care of everything else and not be obedient to the things that God has actually wanted us to do. It's better to obey than to sacrifice. Pay attention. We don't pay attention to God anymore. Maybe we've never paid attention to God. God in his word is telling us things. God by the Spirit is telling us things. But we are having a hard time paying attention. And I'm as guilty as probably anybody here as far as trying to carry on a conversation and you got three other things going on. And you're, what is that you want? And you're doing this and, you know, or your phone, or you're checking an email, or you're just a text, or somebody just, you know, texted. What was that about? And so it's even hard for ourselves to give sometimes each other the proper attention without even giving God the proper attention. We need to pay attention and obey God as his word is sharing with us. And as we do this, we will be that living sacrifice. We will be giving up that spiritual sacrifice. It'll be a time where you just come, a spiritual sacrifice. We're going to look at that maybe this next week out, next Sunday. Maybe 1 or 2 weeks out, we'll be kind of looking at these areas of sacrifice. But what is a spiritual sacrifice, just as God is desiring of us? We continue to look at sacrifice and what the Bible shares. And I kind of come to this ending of the word of what I said earlier on. We find a lot of it is self-denial. So we're going to look at that in the scriptures. We're going to kind of go through a little group of self-denial areas. It's not going to be a lot, but we'll just kind of go through a few things. Self-denial is this. It's a restraint or a limitation of one's own desires or interest. Self-denial. And I was going to write that down, and I forgot. Now, just because I started to look for it, I go, you didn't write it down. I can't think where I was wanting to go. But I'm sure well, here it is. I did have it wrote down. I just need to further read down my paper here, I think. Let's try this. No wonder I was looking at the wrong number. Luke 9. So in Luke 9, if I start in 23, he says to them at all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him do what? Deny himself. Self-denial. You've got to deny yourself. And take up his cross daily and follow me. Take up your cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profited a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? And it goes on in verse 26, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and his Father's and of the holy angels. But here again, back here where deny yourself, let him deny himself and take up the cross. So we're going to look a little bit more at that, hopefully in the week or two ahead of us. Again, I don't want to get into just hitting you over the head with sacrifice, 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 because obedience is better than sacrifice. Paying attention to him is better. And that's where we can't just look at one part of God's word and say, this is all we're going to do, and leave all the other stuff out. I think it's like a tandem help of one or the other, being obedient and being a sacrifice. Being obedient, being a sacrifice. Again, just remember, he will give you the energy, the power to do whatever he's asked you to do, right? He knows who you are. He knows your limitations. So he'll take it and work with you. Amen? Amen. Well, we also want to wait on you and your giving as we get ready to shut this down.